Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The sermon for today, the fourth Sunday after Lent, I'm calling the Children of Promise. The sermon was written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. The patriarch Abraham is the pivotal character both in today's epistle and in next Sunday's gospel. Stay tuned. Next Sunday, we shall hear Jesus make the outrageous claim that he saw Abraham face to face, even though there were about as many years between Abraham and Jesus as there have been between Jesus and us. Today, St. Paul uses the story of Abraham to tell us how we get saved, how God puts us into a proper relationship with him, how we can be sure we're going to go to heaven. Abraham enters the picture very early in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. The 11 chapters before Abraham appears are taken up with universal worldwide history, including such events as the creation, the fall of man, Noah's flood, and the construction of the Tower of Babel. After all that happens, we can almost hear God saying to himself, "Trying to save everybody all at once doesn't seem to be working out too well. I think I'm going to lower my expectations and narrow the scope of my operation. Instead of attempting to rescue mankind as a whole, I will begin with one particular man and see if I can work things out through what happens to him and his family." Abraham, for reasons, as they say, known only to God, is the man God chooses. So his family becomes God's chosen people. God tells Abraham that if he will obey, God will make him the father of a great nation and give him land where he and his descendants can live. So Abraham gets the promise that his family will continue to exist both in space and in time, and God gets the family he can use to work out the more subtle and complicated plan to save the rest of the world that he has in mind now. The Hebrew people, the Jews, are Abraham's family. The Old Testament is a family saga, the story of how the original arrangement between God and Abraham was passed along and dealt with from generation to generation. As is the case in the story of any family, the saga includes high points and low points, comedy and tragedy, high drama and farce, heroism and villainy. The New Testament tells us what the point of the saga is. We discover that the story of Abraham and his family was all leading up to the birth of Jesus. It is through Jesus, a full-fledged Jew, a bloodline descendant of Abraham, that God offers the rest of mankind the opportunity to become chosen too. The way that begins to happen for us is baptism. When we are baptized, we become part of Jesus' body. Since Jesus is a descendant of Abraham, becoming part of Jesus' body makes us descendants of Abraham too. Baptism makes us heirs of the promises God made to Abraham, descendants and land. Our descendants in that sense include the future members of the church. Our promised land is heaven, where all of God's chosen people will go together at the end to live with him forever. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul is trying to convince his congregation in Galatia that they can't get saved by keeping the Old Testament law. Putting his point into words that may mean a bit more to us, we don't get saved by the way we act. Salvation is not something we can earn or deserve by piling up good deeds and spiritual accomplishments. Getting saved is a matter of recognizing what God offers you through Jesus and then responding to it. In terms that we have been talking about so far, God offers you his membership in his chosen people and the promises that come with it. What he asks you is that you put your trust in his promises and be sorry for what you have done wrong. Human beings have a very difficult time talking to God, taking God at his word. When God told Abraham he would have many descendants, he and his wife Sarah did not believe they could have even one descendant. They had never had any children before, and she appeared to be much too old to conceive. Abraham and Sarah did not trust God to keep his promise, so they decided to help God out. Abraham conceived Ishmael with Sarah's slave girl, Hagar, and the project backfired. Sarah resented Hagar. When Sarah and Abraham had their son Isaac, Ishmael persecuted him. So Abraham wound up throwing Hagar and Ishmael out of the house. The Galatians situation and our own situation is similar to Abraham and Sarah's situation. We don't believe God can keep his promises to us either. We can't believe salvation is as simple as trusting God and being sorry. So we try to help God out by making salvation into something we can earn. That project backfires too. God does not grade on a curve. You can only claim you have earned salvation if you have always been absolutely perfect. But only Jesus, and the truly delusional, can make such a claim. So what makes us happy on Mothering Sunday is that we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as the most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory. Now,